Then the physical posture is now, at this, this stage, it is something very important. If possible, the because of lotus, she said.
The lotus position, cross-legged.
And you see,
and your hands in the position as is usually
described.
If you do the assume the position that the Japanese assume in zazen, then that's just right. That's fine. The Japanese stay with the left hand on top of the right, whereas we stay with the right on top of the left. In mantric practice, it's important to stay with the right on top of the left hand and the two thumbs pressed together. In the form of a triangle around the navel.
Now, one of the most important things is complete isolation. You cannot practice with daily busy life. It's impossible. You must remain in secluded place. It's a quiet place like that. Then that tune
And it's best to have many sessions of meditation for short periods. And then if you ask, what should the object be? In Thailand, there's a system where there's no special object. Rather, one keeps one's mindfulness very carefully on whatever one is doing. If you're moving the left foot forward, right foot forward, left foot forward, right foot forward, whatever activity it is, one keeps one's mindfulness just on that. And it's also possible to follow the inhalation and exhalation of the breath. And as is set forth in the Hinayana scriptures, there's the practice of the establishment and mindfulness of the body, of feeling, of the mind and of phenomena. However, in general, a good object of meditation for a Buddhist would be the body of Shakyamuni Buddha, an image of Shakyamuni Buddha in front of oneself, or for a Christian, it could be an image of Jesus. Or to put the first letter of one's name on a drop of light in front of oneself. For instance, if your name is John, to put J. The object can be meditated as being outside of one's body or as being inside of one's body. In Tantra, if one has received initiation into the three lower tantras, one would be achieving a calm abiding of the mind during the period of the yoga with science, whereas in highest yoga mantra, one would be achieving calm abiding during the practice of the stage of generation. And in mantra, the main meditation then is to meditate on a divine body. At the beginning, even if one cannot meditate on an entire mandala, the basic practice is to meditate on a deity's body. So whatever the object is, whether it is a Buddha body or a drop of light with a letter on it, whatever it is, one first looks at it with one's eyes to become accustomed to it, becoming accustomed such that it appears to the mind internally. When it has appeared or formed internally, then it is said that one has found the object. It's difficult for the object to appear clearly from the beginning. For instance, one might be meditating on the body of Shakyamuni Buddha, which you do at the level of your own eyes, not too high, not too low, and about the distance of 4 or 5 feet away from you. In tantric practice, when one meditates on a divine body, it is not a case of one's own body instantaneously transforming into a divine body. Rather, one first meditates on emptiness, gaining however much ascertainment of the emptiness of inherent existence one can, and then when one has gotten used to this to a good degree, takes that mind itself as the basis of emanation of the deity in the mandala, using that mind to appear as the deity, and then concentrates on that deity.
That
having found the object of meditation, then one is to set one's mind continuously on that object. In general, with regard to meditation, there are two basic types. One is called analytical meditation, in which one is analyzing an object, and the other is called stabilizing meditation, in which one is fixing on a single object. Then also with regard to meditation, there are two divisions. One which is meditation in a subjective sense, and the other in an objective sense. In the subjective sense, it would be like meditating on faith, which would mean to cultivate faith in meditation, to cause one's own mind to become of the entity of faith. Whereas one meditates on impermanence, for instance, one is meditating on the object impermanence. Then there are meditations in which one reflects, for instance, on the qualities of a Buddha, and then others in which, for instance, in mantra, There are meditations in which one reflects, for instance, on the qualities of a Buddha which actually do exist, and other meditations, as in Tantra, when one meditates on oneself as a divine being, as having a divine body. Now there's a question then of whether that would then be a mistaken consciousness, since one actually is not a deity now. However, the answer is that one's mode of apprehension of one's mind is involved in the understanding of the emptiness of inherent existence, and thus the mind is not mistaken with respect to its mode of apprehension. It rather is called in imaginative meditation. One is just purposely, or for a certain purpose, imagining oneself as having a divine body. It is an imaginative meditation that does not involve conviction that one actually is that thing.
Right.
Thus, there are many different kinds of meditation, many more than I'm now mentioning also. Now, with respect to developing calm abiding, this is a case of gaining or finding the object of observation, and then setting one's mind continually on it.
Oh, yeah.
The main factors that disturb such meditation are laxity and excitement. Indeed, lethargy and scattering also disturb the process of meditation, but the two most important interrupters are laxity and excitement. There are levels of laxity, more subtle and more gross, and levels of excitement too. If you do not become skilled in distinguishing the grosser and subtler levels of laxity, it is possible to mistake subtle laxity for good meditation. Then what are the antidotes which serve to counteract laxity and excitement? Since laxity is mainly a matter of the mind's, of the level of the mind's intensity being too low, one needs to increase its intensity. And since excitement is a matter of the mind, of the level of the mind being too high or too intense, one needs to decrease the intensity. Thus, if you have the feeling that the mind is tending toward being too loose, you should tighten the mind more. And if you have the feeling that the mind is getting too tight and there's a danger of excitement and scattering, then you should relax or loosen the mind a little.
You must have
stability, an ability to set just on that object, but that alone is not sufficient. The mind also must be clear. That again is not sufficient. That clarity should be intense. It should be alert. It should be sharp. Once you shouldn't have a sense of the mind's being just a little dull. The mind rather should be sharp and alert. For instance, after eating some good food, they tend to withdraw a little and have some good feeling. That's more like a laxity or lethargy. Rather than that, you need a very alert and clear mind.
Any
This is not easy, for it is a matter of, through your own experience, getting used to what laxity and excitement are and how to tighten and loosen the mind in order not to run the danger of either of them. It is not easy, it's difficult. Then also at times there's an explanation of achieving calm abiding through observing one's own mind. Then there's also an explanation of achieving calm abiding through taking emptiness as the object. This would be for somebody who already understood emptiness, had gained the view of emptiness. However, the case mostly is that one first achieves one-pointed meditation and then gains the view of emptiness.
This one? Yes.
If one achieves calm abiding with the mind itself as the object, this has great connection with the practice of mantra, tantra. Now we can, with regard to the fundamental mind, we can make a difference between the coarse fundamental mind and the subtle fundamental mind. In the case of achieving calm abiding, of taking the mind as the object, one has to be viewing the basic nature of the mind. Now, in order to concentrate on the subtle fundamental mind, one has to have achieved high realization in highest yoga tantra. But in what I'm explaining now, for the achievement of calm abiding, observing the mind, it's a matter of first identifying the coarse fundamental mind and then concentrating on it. This is a case of not remembering former conceptions and not generating new conceptions, but in that space between the old conceptions and new conceptions, of identifying the basic luminous and knowing nature of the mind that is not affected by any conceptuality. Basically, this is a thoughtless state. However, there are many levels within thoughtless states, and this one isn't particularly special.
So that the day is Shiva. That the Tangodon Convention, not the Modon Convention, Lamen and John Dunder, to Sosa to the Modo Town, any Tikomia Shiver.
For somebody who's really going to engage in this meditation, first one engages in the accumulation of positive merit and the overcoming of obstructions, and then enters into it. One needs to identify the fundamental state of the mind that is without any pollution by conceptuality, that's just in its own state, that is this mere luminosity, the mere cognitive nature of the mind, and then with mindfulness and introspection remain with that. And then sometimes if conceptuality is generated, you can just look into the very nature of that conceptual consciousness itself, and this will cause the conceptual factor to diminish. Sometimes also it is explained that one can forcefully, with exertion, stop conceptuality. If you vividly get used to the basic nature, the basic unaffected or unfabricated nature of the mind, this mere luminosity, mere knowing nature, then even when conceptions are generated, they will not be very strong. They will be like the waves of the ocean. The waves of the ocean are water. Just so the nature of the conceptual consciousness is just the same nature. Thus conceptuality will become weaker and weaker. If one is going to achieve calm abiding with emptiness as the object, then first one has to do analytical meditation in order to understand what emptiness is. Then when one arrives at that point of understanding the absence of inherent existence, then one can set in stabilizing meditation on just that absence of inherent existence and achieve calm abiding. Thus, calm abiding and special insight are not differentiated by way of object. If we explain these from the point of view of Kamala Shila's stages of meditation,
가서 똥이를 미베 시내 이르세 진입을다 또 똥이 담 지다월을 미베 시내 이르세 다야 진입을 미베 상동 이르세
Because there are consciousnesses of calm abiding that are observing emptiness, and there are consciousnesses of special insight that are observing the varieties of phenomena. In order to achieve calm abiding, the development of sustained mindfulness is very important. If you do well at sustaining mindfulness, then introspection will come automatically. The special function of introspection, however, is to inspect from time to time what the mind is doing, or if it's physical activities, what the body is doing. Through practice, even though at the beginning the periods of laxity and excitement are very strong, as time passes, these become weaker and weaker, and less frequent, and the periods of being able to set on the object become longer and longer. And in time, even subtle laxity and subtle excitement lose their force and gradually disappear. Thus, even though the achievement of calm abiding is not specifically Buddhist, it's explained in both Buddhist and non-Buddhist texts, its achievement is by no means easy. It's difficult. There also is a danger of a person's mind becoming upset through mispractice. With regard to this, the mode of procedure is the same in the scriptures of the hearers and solitary realizers, the scriptures of the bodhisattvas, and in the mantra vehicle. In the three lower tantras within the mantra vehicle. And all of these are similar with respect to the fact that one first has to achieve calm abiding and then special insight. So one might wonder if the order of the path is definite in that one needs to achieve calm abiding first and special insight second, one might wonder how this would jibe with the explanation given already that there could be calm abiding that realizes emptiness.
So that, that day and that 신의 세야디 미버텔이야 심지지도 샤니 덴데게 조금 뒤 장니 유신장에다 대회스 맞디 신내제 그래서 다 디제라 아니 미국 가는 로알이야 제베 떡지 장베 유신장에 대회스 맞 참라 아니 상동 샤이고요래 그래서 디디서 인도자네 대권이야 덴데 가서래 조금기 타네 장셰베 다 유신장에 대회 대회 실도 여기 좀 마주나 가고 용기에서래
When one has the calm abiding observing emptiness, this means that one has a state that is imbued with physical and mental pliancy that is induced through stabilizing meditation on emptiness. Whereas when one has special insight, one has a state that is imbued with physical and mental pliancy that is induced by analytical meditation with respect to emptiness. Thus, it still holds true that one first needs to achieve calm abiding and then second, special insight. However, in highest yoga mantra, there are special techniques of which involve concentrating on focal points within the body, whereby it is possible to bring about a simultaneous achievement of calm abiding and special insight. There are such cases. Similarly, also in highest yoga tantra, through the assistance of the powerful mind of great bliss that is concentrating on emptiness, it is said that one engages then in just stabilizing meditation on emptiness, not on analytical meditation. However, this is a case of a person who earlier became very familiar with emptiness through analytical meditation. There's no way that a person who had no familiarity with emptiness through analytical meditation could take a bliss consciousness and merely and use it to realize emptiness just in stabilizing meditation. So that pretty much finishes the discussion of calm abiding.
That don't you come here, because I don't even say good. Hando come here. Hando red. Love a struggle. Love a struggle. Love a struggle. That tell ya. That's all. That share of 11 and so the machine of 11 drum and you're not covered.
With respect to the training in wisdom, there are many levels of the selflessness or emptiness which are the objects of that wisdom. There is the selflessness of persons as it is, presented in the lower and higher schools of tenets. Then there's the selflessness of phenomena as it is presented in different ways in the higher schools of tenets. So thus there are many levels of subtlety and coarseness.
다간다지 신나 좀더 참을 나오기 가서 우리가 아주 그게 다 디여 최장년 아주 다 대화동에 디두지기 탄다리야 다 최 두구여와 디두지기 탄다리 토니 이니 대화동에 탄다리야 토니 아니 검냠리 대위여바 인주자네 다 디두뇽에게 다 대다 대롱 제제 최세니 직례구와 다시선 토마에니 디두 롱 쩌바도다 다디가나 지나고도 섬을 얻어 주셔야 돼.
Because it is for the sake of pleasure and pain, achieving pleasure and getting rid of pain that one engages in religious practice, the self that undergoes pleasure and pain is an object of much analysis in both the Buddhist and non-Buddhist systems.
Janita, Kazor, Tan, Dung, and Kada, Pumputin, Yugiar, Tat, Yongaman, and Driyon, the Nichiman, the Dinji, Dizane, Kandaji, Tomin, Yoteva. Dinji, sometimes, Pumbulet, Doni Tadeveta, Taji Shani, Tini, Tonda Samuel, be kept in endo, be dual meeting, be Chiku Taba.
For those who assert a self or Atman, they see that the mental and physical aggregates undergo change, but there is a self that since beginningless time has assumed this body and that body, has been in this situation and that situation, thus they hold this sort of self to be permanent, single, and under its own power.
Da na ba sanje be tinde ge da 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 tuji rong da de ji yu ma re se ni da tu de ma shi ja lo ge da ji dan ja na no ma shi ja lo ge da ka ne shi ra ma de ba kan de ba ji no jo de me da ka sa si ji da ji ji she de ge ma da ko ji she ka na ta ma lo ge da de ni da min de ba tinde yin de ka sa
All four Buddhist schools of tenets, except for the group subsects within Vaibhashika who assert an inexpressible self, say that there is no such permanent, single, and independent self. For all of the Buddhist systems hold to the four seals that testify to a doctrine's being Buddhist, that all products are impermanent, that all contaminated things are miserable, that all phenomena are selfless, and that nirvana is peace. Although the term emptiness does appear in the texts of the lower schools here and there, an emptiness which refers to the selflessness of phenomena appears only in the texts of the higher schools of tenets, Chittimatra and Madhyamaka. Except for the Prasangika Madhyamaka system, the other Mahayana systems present a selflessness of persons that is no more subtle than that presented in the Hinayana systems. In addition to that selflessness of the person, they present a selflessness of phenomena.
Uma tenju kasa ga dami de ya chamu shei mi ya. However,
the Prasangika Madhyamakas present a subtler version of the selflessness of persons. They do not divide the selflessness of persons in a phenomena by way of that of which these are empty, but by way of the things that are empty. In order to understand selflessness, one needs to understand the two truths. And in a brief way that's easy to understand, conventional truths are objects found by a consciousness that